We have one walking in. All right. Thank you for coming in. And your name, sister?
Mary.
Mary. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. Hi. Welcome. And we have here by Sister Margaret. I believe her name is Joanna. And Joanna, it's been amazing that you are here. That's been a blessing. Don't you know that in our gathering of prayer, even in our weekly, during every week, we have been praying for you. And thanks God that, much prayer that was done and you're here now worshiping our Lord and our Savior. Thank you. We would like to welcome you. Is there anyone that I have not welcomed as guest? I believe I did, but my brothers and sisters, welcome as well. And for those that are in the Zoom as well as in the Facebook, welcome as well. YouTube, thank you. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. It has been a long journey for us. You know, this is our third Sabbath so far, and it's been a blessing. You know, we've been growing slowly and slowly. The family that we have here at San Jose Central, we would like to welcome you guys here also and join us presently. We have plenty of room for you. All right. Tell others about that the church is open and we can have worship together. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we just want to thank you again for this wonderful morning, wonderful Sabbath that you have put upon us. Thank you so much, Lord, that despite all the conditions of our environment, you opened our church, allowed to open the church, and Lord, we're here worshiping you alive. And we invite the Holy Spirit to be present with us, Lord. We know that we will be blessed because of your presence here. May this sharing that I have this morning will be also an enlightened each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, friends and family, it has been, at least I was asking Sister Kyoko, my wife, and even, it's been about 13 months from the time that they put a lockdown in us, when they called that last year as of March 11 or 13, they put a lockdown, and it's been a long journey in us that to tackle, to go over these big mountains of this pandemic virus that we've been still in our midst. But, in our reading also, in everyday reading that we have from with Sister Margaret, myself, and the group that we have, we've been put this into our heart, in our prayer, in our devotion, in our daily reading, Psalms 91. And we've been slowly memorizing it over and over. That's our daily reading, which I remember in one of the verses is that 1,000 may fall on your side and 1,000 may fall on your right side, but you will see, you will be watching them, that the goal, God will deliver you from those enemies, he says. But he put a condition also. If you love me and truly know who am I will do those for you. That's what he says. So, friends, since now that the church is open, we're able now to conduct our worship in live as well, still in those that are still in the technology of YouTube and Zoom. We have now the opportunity to refocus our focus for Christ. I believe those that has been and obstacles that we have throughout this pandemic virus, now we can refocus ourselves. So as we continue to look forward to this year that the Lord has given us, sometimes we tend to look back and regret our remorse at the things we did not get accomplished in the Lord in the past year. Let's not look back about those, but we now we will focus. Let's refocus more on our mind in who God is in us. But we must not allow those failures, like I said, of the past to cloud our vision of this future in Christ. We can never change the past, but by the grace of God, we can make the most of the future. So remember those things which will help you and me forward, but forget those things which will only hold you back. I want to repeat our scripture reading was that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," it says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting the past, those things that are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Yes, remember our lesson study, the covenant that God had made to all the those forefathers that we have. I want to touch on more in the area of Noah himself. And I gave a comment concerning about that. God grieved. And he said he regretted even that he created mankind, he said. He said he weeped, he grieved. Few was chosen. Few chose to serve God, only the family of Noah. But because of Jesus Christ, friends, in us, in other covenant that he made for you and myself. But let's remember that. Remember what God had done to Noah in that area that he grieved. I hope and pray that that will not happen in our time. That it will not be only a few, but will be a lot because of what we're doing for Christ. One thing that I see from Sister Margaret, learning to know what Christ has done in her life, and she's sharing it. And right now she has a friend right next to her because of the things that she had done. Because of our hope is in Christ, it says, we can let go of past guilt and look forward to what he will help us become. Don't dwell on your past. Instead, grow in the knowledge of God by concentrating on our relationship with him now. Sometimes we, as Christians, stray from God in our hearts, grow weary in well-doing, and grow slack in of focus. We fail to see that we are heading in a direction a contrary to God's direction for our lives. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1-5. The Bible reads, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we have command you." Verse 5. "Now may the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." I want to touch on the first three verses. It says, beneath where it says, this finally, brethren, this is Apostle Paul. This is his second letter to the Thessalonians. And he's making them assurance. He's making them, he's encouraging them in this essence of giving continually to Christ. Where it says, in some way, it says, beneath the surface of the routine and of daily life, a fierce struggle among invisible spiritual powers is being waged. In the Christian life, we battle against rulers, authorities, the power of evil forces of the fallen angel headed by Satan. To withstand their attacks, we must depend on God's strength, and we can use every piece of his armor put on the armor of God. Our main defense is prayer, that God will protect us from evil one and that he will strengthen us. Sister Margaret said, and myself, sometimes that's why we're inviting people, for it's not only that it's just prayer, but it's just also fast and prayer. The word I want to touch on now, this in the area of this lesson that we just read in this chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, I draw your attention to the final statement that Paul writes in verse 5. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. I want to put on the word direct. The word direct in Greek means to be straightened fully. It implied that their focus had become blurred or not clear. Paul prayed that the Thessalonians would get refocused, to be reminded, to be encouraged, that they might refocus their life on Christ and his will for their lives. Isn't that what we wanted here, brothers and sisters? With all this cloud that we have with this pandemic virus, we can refocus and we can be encouraged what Christ has done for us. I believe he has safeguarded you with all this virus, with this virus that's going on. And we should be encouraged because of the reading that we have in chapter 91, that he will safeguard you. Only, I will take care of you, only if you know that, who am I? As we consider this year before, let us take time to refocus our lives on Christ and his will for each of our lives. It is time to refocus our focus. So as we refocus our focus, we can also refocus our passion. Okay? Passion, to define the word passion, it says passion is ardent affection or love, a strong desire or affection for someone, and the object of such desire or affection. So it is an affection, the desire that you long, the love that you have, the care. When you decide something, what must you do? You do something about it, isn't it? You long for, you crave for. Psalms, turn your Bible to Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. And this is from David himself. That's Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what David says. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Verse 2. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I think we came across in our Bible study in here that, you know, as David was a chosen one, he did not have that easy life as he was called by God. But in his running away, you know, I said, here David is hiding from his enemies in the barren desert of Judah. David was intensely lonely. He longed for a friend he could trust to ease his loneliness. He cried out, "Oh God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you," said, "in a dry and weary land. If you are lonely or thirsty for something lasting in your life, remember David's prayer. God alone can satisfy our deepest or your deepest longing." We should love God above all else. That's his command in the second commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the book of Deuteronomy, turn your Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It reads, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." According to the Lord Jesus, to love God is the great and first commandment. You can find that in the gospel. To love God with all one's heart is the very soul and essence of Christianity. If we love God as we should, we will willingly serve him as we patiently wait for his Son from heaven. We often fail to love God as we should. We become like the church of Ephesus, to who he had left their first love. That first love that you have in Jesus, is it increasing or is it fading away? It's time now to refocus that first love that you have in Jesus. Let it nothing to hinder you, that first love that you had for him. What causes us to fail in our love for God is that sometimes the world steals our affection. You know? And the Bible speaks clearly in the Gospel of Matthew 6:42. That's Matthew 6:24. Let's turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We get caught up in the rat race of Silicon Valley and the high cost of living. We should not be fascinated with our possession, lest they possess us. God alone deserves to be our master. Either we store our treasures with God, focus our eyes on him, and serve him alone, or else we do not serve him at all. Where does your allegiance lies? Where does your ultimate desire lies? Luke chapter 8, verse 14. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Thorns, pets, it says. People overcome by worries and the lure of materialism leave no room in their lives for God. Those are the thorns that are going to choke us up. There's a verse in the Bible that just came clinging to my mind. Be ye not conformed of this world, but be ye transformed in the renewing of your mind. You know. Second Timothy 4:10. I'm sorry, that's 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. It says, For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Demas had been one of Paul's co-workers. Demas deserted Paul because he loved this world. In other words, Demas loved worldly values and pleasures. There's two ways to love the world. There's two ways to love the world. God loved the world as he created it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not or shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Others, like Demas, love the world as it is seen and all. John 10:10 reads, The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it to full. The thief, the destroyer is Satan. So look at the two differences, brothers and sisters. You know, you can love the world, but in the direction of the enemy. God loves the world. He gave his son. So in Christ, we can have eternal life. Sometimes it is the attack of the enemy, which is what I just said earlier. The thief does not come. The thief that came to kill and to destroy. But look at what's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 reads, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, in the I love to watch the. I don't want to use this word love. I like to see in the one day somehow I want to go to Africa and look at the wildlife, the way they. But look at how the lion look at for the prey. You know, look at what it says. Lions attack sick, young, or struggling animals. They choose victims who are alone and not alert. Here, Peter warns us to watch out for Satan when we are suffering or being persecuted. If you are feeling alone, weak, helpless, and cut off from other believers, or if you are so focused on your troubles or problems that you forget to watch for dangers, those are the time when you are especially or open to Satan's attack. Yes. When you allow those problems, that this worldly that can offer you, because God says also Jesus said also in John 16 verse 33, he says that take heart, it says. In this world, you will face many tribulations, but it said, take heart, I overcame the world. Jesus went through the same struggles that you and I, he probably had gone more struggles than you and I had gone through, you know. Satan knows he cannot have our soul once we belong to God. But if he can get us to fail in our love for God, he still has to accomplish his purpose. That's what his purpose is all about. That's what his purpose. He was able to destroy our first parents. But thank be to God for Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to refocus our focus. Satan does all he can to cause our love for Christ to grow cold through death, disappointment, distress, and difficulties that come into our lives. Ephesians 4:27, this is also, it says, neither give place to the devil. We can be angry. We can be angry, but the Bible says, sin not. Don't let that become a victim of sin in your anger. I want to repeat James 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Although God and the devil are at war, you know, It's not flesh and blood, but it's a spirit that are having this controversial. It says, although God and the devil are at war, we don't have to wait until the end to see who will win. Jesus already defeated Satan. Where? At the cross. Amen? Amen? At the cross. At the cross where our first soul delight. When I first saw that, all my burdens said, fall away. And when Christ returns, the devil and all he stands for will be eliminated or destroyed forever. Satan is here now, brothers and sisters. However, and he is trying to win us over his evil cause or his deceive. With the Holy Spirit power, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. At other times, it is we that fail to nourish our love for God. It is us. Because I remember when Adam and Eve fell, God was still looking for them. Where are you, Adam? And I believe he's still calling us also. When we go astray, he calls us by name. Because there's a song that we sing, he knows my name. He even knows the very most of your hair. I don't know how much I left. I even fell down on my hair. But he knows them all, it says. We don't spend time. See, the things that we lose our love for Christ is that we don't spend time with him in prayer. What did David said? Early will I seek you. That his earnest prayer. Early will I seek you. You know what, brothers and sisters, this pandemic virus, for some people it's a curse. But for some people it was a blessing. You know, I find it my time before this pandemic virus, I find it my time spending time, less spending time with God. But with this pandemic virus came, it wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and early will I seek him, Sister Margaret, myself, and my wife. Early will I seek him, that's what David says. We don't study his precious word. We don't spend time studying his word. You know, I praise God for the blessing of people that are wanting reading, you know. Last year, I thank Sister Merle for inviting people to read the book of the Gospel, the New Testament. And we had read throughout last year. And now he invited also people now to read the Old Testament, you know, from the beginning of the year. Now we are now in the book of 1 Kings. Yes. And it's been, and there's in the group that we're doing, in the group that we're having this reading, there's 10 of us leading by my wife, myself, and Sister Margaret. And I believe Sister Margaret also has her other group studying the Bible. We must find quality, I put it this way, quantity and quality time for God. We grow weary in our service to him. You know, when you fall in love with Christ, or when you fall in love with someone, you know, your service for that individual should not grow weary, but it should come with such an affection of love, such an affection of eagerness, such an affection of strength, and with full stamina. But sometimes when we grow cold with Christ, even our service grow cold. We forsake our time for worship. You know, that has been one of the vital problems now in our society, that family worship is diminishing. We're forgetting Christ in the center of our family. So we blame our children because they choose to go that way, but we lack the area of worship at home. School, church, start from home. So we need to refocus our focus on passion. Refocus our purpose. The Bible states, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So what is our purpose in this earth? What is your purpose, if I may ask? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. Going back to the reading that we first read there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Now I want to bring you back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. bear with me. I just 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 reads, "And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you." See, here, Apostle Paul is just encouraging them, the Thessalonians. And he said, "We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye do both, do and will do things which we have commanded you." And what that document that he had is that to glorify God, to glorify him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." I think there's a parallel in this, Galatians 2:20, right, sister? We are bought at a price. So it's no longer Linda, David, Sandy living, but Christ now living in me, it says, right? In Galatians 2:20. And here, we are bought at a price. So it says, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, it says. Therefore, honor God with your body. So what does that mean? What did Apostle mean when he said that our bodies belong to God? But many people, I believe you are encountered with them also. It says, many people say that they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies. It's myself. It's me. I can do whatever we want. They think that this is freedom, but they are really enslaved to their own desire, your passion, you know. But when we become Christians, or I want to go deeper on that. When we become genuine Christians, the Holy Spirit fills our lives in us. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies, bought at a price. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligated us to his service. I believe he has a calling. We studied this morning. The covenant he wanted from our forefathers, as well as the covenant he has for us. You know, one thing I want to share, this is such an analogy. It says, if you live in a building owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building rules. Because our body belongs to God, you must not violate his standard of living in you. So we are purchased by the blood. What we might fulfill his purpose for us. The purpose is to bring him glory. John 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. When a vine bears much fruit, God is glorified, for daily he sends sunshine and rain to make the crops grow. And constantly, he nurtured its tiny plant and prepared it to blossom. What a moment of glory for the Lord of the harvest when the harvest is brought into the barn. Mature and ready for use. He made it happen. This farming as an analogy shows how God is glorified when people come into a right relationship with Him and begin to bear much fruits in their life. So here Jesus used this analogy of farming, of making this vine to bear much fruit. That as we have that genuine Christian relationship with Christ, He wants us to bear much fruit. I think we can see that from some of us showing that bearing much fruit. We are to go with the gospel. Evangelism is not optional. It's a what? It's a must. It's not an optional. It's a must. It's not just about the evangelist that will do the evangelism. We are committed with the task of reaching this world with the gospel. We are committed. Not just me, but we. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20. Second Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20 reads, "That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled for God." We no longer God's enemies or strangers or foreigners to Him. When we trust in Christ because we have been reconciled to God, we have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same. And thus, we are those who have the ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors is an official representative on behalf of one country to one another. As believers, we are Christ's ambassador, sent with His message of reconciliation to the world. An ambassador of reconciliation has an important responsibility. We dare not to take this responsibility lightly. We are not to take this task of responsibility lightly. The message is the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Certainly, we should help the hurting and feed the hungry, but not without giving them the word of God, the gospel of salvation. Mark 16, verse 15. And He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sometimes, do you ever feel as though you don't have the skill or determination to be a witness for Christ? You must personally realize that Jesus rose from the dead and lives for you today. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, He will give you both the opportunities and the inner strength to tell this message, the message of salvation. The far-reaching impact of Jesus' resurrection continues today, and like the church of the first century, we have a responsibility to take the message of His death and resurrection wherever we go, ever to the end of the earth. Although some will reject the gospel or even persecute the messenger, we can't afford to keep this good news to ourselves because it has the power to give eternal life to all who believe and accept it. No other event in human history come to that. Refocus our patience. And that's one of the deception, or that's one thing that the enemy uses a lot also into our life. He steals our patience. He steals our patience. And the Lord direct your heart into the patient waiting for Christ. You know, there's a passage here that came to my mind also, that God is not slack in keeping His promise, but His patience more than enough that no one will be lost but come to repentance. Defining our terms, the word patience, waiting, means a patience endurance for Christ. But not sitting idly by doing nothing. That's why evangelism is not an optional, it's a must. We cannot sit idly waiting. We must continue doing patiently. By actively serving Him while we wait for His return. Jesus is coming back. As sure as He came over 2,000 years ago to be born as the babe in the manger, He is coming back again to this earth to be Lord of lords, King of kings. He is coming in the air to take away all who have placed their faith in Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, Chapter 4, 16 and 17, the Bible reads, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." It says, then He, Jesus, is returning to end the rebellion of mankind and establish His kingdom. So I want to parallel this, that if you choose to go this way or you choose to go that way, look what it says also in Jude chapter 1. I just finished reading First Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, that those who are in Christ, they shall be with Him, with the Lord forever. But look at what Jude 14 and 15 reads. "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners had spoken against him. This is eternal destruction. So there's choices we make, brothers and sisters, to be in Christ or to be with the enemy. So, are we ready? Christians, we will stand before him and give an account of how we have invested the life that he gave to us, the purpose he gave to us. You know, friends, I don't want to use financial responsibilities of obligation. But I want you to allow me to say that we want the best for our money return, isn't it? We want the best return for our investments. But what is your investment for Christ? You want the best for it also, isn't it? He said, Christians, we will stand before him and give an account of how we have invested this life that he gave me. You know, to those who do not know him as Savior, now is the day of salvation. To those who do not know him as Savior, now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus. I surrender all. I give my life to you. You bought a price for me. I don't own my body. I belong to you. This body belongs to you. So friends, if you have never given your life to Christ, whatever you need, I invite you this morning to give yourself to Christ. You can, if you're not ready, that as you have heard, those of you that are in YouTube as well as in Zoom, those that if you have not given your life to Jesus, today is salvation. You may contact our elders, myself, Sister Margarita, Brother Dominic, also our pastor. If you need you want to know more about who Christ is, so that you can refocus your focus in your walk with God daily, weekly, throughout the year, and to eternity. You know, friends, yes, I started with this pandemic virus. I could attest to you that it was hard. My mom just passed away towards the end of the year. She passed away during Thanksgiving Day. I did not have the opportunity to call her and say, Happy Thanksgiving, Mom. It's hard for me to fly there to at least be with her. But even in her burial, I went back to Hawaii back in February for my son and myself to bury her. But even in the funeral service, it was hard still. It's not the same that a whole family or friends and visitors that can come and pay their last respect. It's no longer the same. But those should not hinder us from refocusing our focus for Christ. That someday, somehow, he will put those to an end. There will be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sin in this world. So friends, the choice is yours. God is knocking at the door of your heart. Will you not receive him as your friend and your Savior? The promise he has given you and me is eternal life. That's the promise. So as before I pray, let's stand for our closing prayer, standing on the promises of Christ.
Sing with us.
Standing on the promises of God, my King, to eternal ages let His praises sing. When the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of fear and doubt assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior is my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Bow with me for prayer. Father God in heaven, yes, O God, forgive us for the things that is not pleasing you. Forgive us, O God, for just not keeping your promises. Forgive us, God, for we have not put our heartfelt, your purpose in us. But Lord, in the message of refocusing our focus, now must be in you. To the power, we cannot do them alone, again, but to the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing us serve fully, allowing ourselves you to mold us, to make us the way you want us to be. Oh Lord our God, we know that this pandemic virus is just a birth pain that you have also tell us in your word. That these birth pains allow us to understand that you are coming soon. These birth pains will give us the recollection of refocusing our focus to you and only you. Oh Lord, our God, thank you so much for your unfailing loveliness. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. So Lord, may your promises of the new covenant that we have, that you choose us, we don't choose you, but you choose us as your special people. May we live above the crowd of this world that is dying. May you be before us. May the name of Jesus be upon our lips. May the name of Jesus may we share to those that needs it. May the name of Jesus be upon us till Jesus return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.